Today's daf is Megillah Daf Chaf Ches. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. Moshe and Judith Grishko in honor of the Hanachas Tfilin of their son Svi Hirsch. Mazel you should have continued Nachas from Svi Hirsch and all the rest of your children. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Chav Zayin and Beis. We're at the two dots in the second very wide line of Chav Zayin and Beis. The Gemara is going to go through a series of questions of Bameh Erachta Yamim that they ask seven different Gedolei Yisrael. Bameh Erachta Yamim, what did you do to be Zocha Tarichus Yamim? And each one identifies different Hanachas that they had practiced throughout their lives that they attributed their arichus yamim to. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph is going to go back to discuss kedushas beis haknesses. What happens if a beis haknesses is destroyed? What are you allowed to do in a beis haknesses? Not allowed to do in a beis haknesses? Eating, drinking, hesped, things of this nature. The Gemara is going to talk about on Amud Beis the concept that batei knesil shebebavel al tanai heinasuyin, that there's a built-in condition to the kedushas beis haknesses when the Beis HaKnesses is outside Eretz Yisrael. If a person is allowed to walk into a Beis HaKnesses because it's raining outside, or if you want to use the Beis HaKnesses as a shortcut, what do you need to do to learn something, to do something in the shul to make sure that it's not used purely as a shortcut, when you're allowed to be maspid in a Beis HaKnesses, and then at the very end of the daf, a little bit of a discussion about being mishtamish b'talmidei chacham, about using someone who knows a lot of Torah and benefiting from their service. So let's pick up from the second wide line on Daf Chav Zayin and Beis. So a series again of seven different Tanaim Amoraim that were asked by Me'er Rachta Yamim. So number one, Shalu Talmidav Rabbi Zakkai, by Me'er Rachta Yamim, Talmidim asked Rabbi Zakkai, what did you do to deserve Arichus Yamim? Amar Lahem, so he said, Miyamei Lo Shtanti Mayim B'toch Dal Amos Shel Tefila. I never urinated within four Amos of Tefila. That's the connection to all these by Me'er Rachta Yamim, because that first answer is something that we just got through discussing. But then he goes on to say, "V'lo kinisi shem l'chaverai." I never called my friends by a nickname. Rashi Atosos points out, "Afili kinoi delo aviganai." Even if it wasn't an insulting nickname, for sure he can't do. Hamachana shem l'chaverai in l'chelik olam abba. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia that a person wouldn't even have a chelik in olam abba if he calls him an insulting nickname. But even if it's not derogatory, even if it's just a nickname, he was makbid not to even do that. V'lo bitalti kiddush hayom, and I was never mevatel kiddush. So, and to demonstrate how he's never mevatel kiddush, he explains that that I used to have an elderly mother. She knows how much I cherished kiddush hayom that she even sold the kerchief off of her head in order that I should be able to fulfill the mitzvah of kiddush hayom. That's how the Achronim explains. Because otherwise, I mean, what's his mile over here? It's his mother's mile that she sold. No, but he was saying a mother will do for a child what she knows the child really wants, what she knows the child really values. So if she sold the Kippur Shabrosh just that I could do Kiddush Hayom, that's because she knows how much I value Kiddush Hayom. When she died, she left him as a Yerusha 300 barrels of wine. And when he died, he managed to increase the fortune to the point that when he died, there were 3,000 barrels of wine to leave over for his Yarshim. Rav Huna hava asur risa v'kai kamed rav. Rav Huna was wearing a belt made out of grass instead of a normal belt in front of Rav. Amalei mai hai. So he said, what's going on? Why are you dressed like that? Amalei lo havali chamra l'kidusha u'meshchanti l'myano yivasai be kidusha. He says, I happen to have not had any wine for kiddush, and therefore I was mimashkin, I gave as a collateral my belt in order that I should be able to get wine for kiddush. Amalei yeirua titum b'shirai. He says, Mitzvah Hashem, one day you should be zocha to wear expensive silk clothing, if that's what you're willing to do for kiddush. Ki ichlal Rabba Berei, when Rabba his son got married, Rav Huna inish gutzahava. So Rav Huna was a very short person. Gona apuria, he was lying down on the bed. Asyan binse v'kalase shalchan v'shadin menayu alei. And his daughters and his daughters-in-law came, and they didn't realize he was there, and they threw their silk garments on the bed, not realizing that it was that he was lying on the bed. Aditam b'shirai, and he was a short guy. He was covered, totally covered by all the silk garments. Shama Rav v'ikbit. So Rav heard about this. He heard that his bracha had come true. He said, one day you should be covered in silk. Now obviously the bracha had come true to the point that he was able to purchase silk for his daughters and daughters-in-law. He didn't use it for himself, but he realized that his bracha came true. Why didn't you say to me when I gave you this bracha, you should have said v'chein lamar, meaning obviously you the bracha came true. But what's the idea of the saying v'chein lamar? The Bach says Rav Huna didn't become an usher from the fact that he was covered in silk. The pashtus of the story is that it was an accident that he was covered in silk. He was lying on a bed and probably was annoying to him that he was covered in silk. He was trying to take a nap or whatever, and they threw this on top of him. So he says, no, this was a simon that was an Eis Ratzon, that by Ra and Rav, a kiyum of that bracha for Rav would have been especially valuable because Rav was poor. And maybe with Rav it would have emerged in a more meaningful way. The bracha would have come out in a more meaningful way. So the Chaznish explains in Aruch Chaim in the Hashmatos in Sim Kuf Nun Vav that the way the story played out is a simin that the bracha of Rav was miskayim, but for sure Rav Huna became rich also. I mean, this the way it played out, where it wasn't a sign of Osher, it was just a sign of he was lying on the bed and it happened, but that's a simin that probably that it was really happening. Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichus Musar explains that from our Gemara you see that if a person is Mekabel Shefa Mimarom, if a person has a moment where he gets a certain bracha, he has the ability to bring others with him. He has the ability to share that with other people. So that's one of the Yesodos of Chaim Shmulevitz throughout the Sichus Musar, is that if a person has a bracha, he should do whatever he can to share that bracha. That was the maisa that was going around on the internet a while ago when Rav Nosson Tzvi, Zichron Levracha, met with the CEO of Starbucks and a number of other leading businessmen when they came to Israel on a tour. So somehow they ended up in Rav Nosson Tzvi's office, and that was the message that he sent to them, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you a shefa of bracha, so you should go and share that with other people. That's your avoda, is to include others in that special shefa of bracha. But that's true when it comes to apparently the koach to give brachos. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, Rav Moshe explains, I don't know if someone asked him or if he just felt the need to explain why he gives brachos when people ask him for brachos, if after all Ani yodea mach erchi, Rav Moshe says, I know how low I am and how unimportant I am, and why would my brachos matter, and why would anyone want a bracha from me? But he said, you never know, sometimes a bracha, you hit an Eis Ratzon and it's from a certain person, even if that person is not a tzaddik, even if that person is not a Talmud Chacham, and it's just the right time. And that's the concept Chazal have, that even a Birchas Hedyot shouldn't be Kalabei Necha. So Ramesh says, so that's why I give brachas, because you never know, who knows, maybe even a Birchas Hedyot will be meaningful. So I think that might be the tshuva of Ramesh says, anyway, what am I going to tell people, that I'm a nobody? Then they're just going to say that I'm an anav. They're not going to realize that I'm being honest. They're just going to call me an anav. So Shaul told me this, Rav Lazar ben Shemua, the Talmid Master of Lazar ben Shemua. Bameh arachta yamim. So what did you do to be zochet arichas yamim? Amr leyam yamay lo asisi kapendari lebeis haknesses. He said, I never made a shul into a shortcut. Velo pasati al rashi am kodesh, and I never stepped over the heads of the am kodesh. Some of the achronim understand that it means all of Klal Yisrael, any Jew is an am kodesh. Others say, no, it means Talmid Chacham, that he didn't step over the heads of the Talmid Chacham. In the Iyun Yaakov, he explains that this is mida keneged mida, that he didn't take any shortcuts, and that's why he got a richus yam. I mean, he wasn't so makbid that to say that I don't have time to treat people with dignity and to treat a beis haknesses with respect. No, he had time to do that, and therefore Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him more time to live. That's how he had his arichus yamim. The Rishonim raised the question, though, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Meiri, that it's usher to make a beis haknesses a kapendari. You're not allowed to make a shortcut out of a shul. So what's the midas chasidus? By a lot of these, Rishonim are all over a lot of these hanhagos are not really midas chasidus. A lot of them are basic halachos. So some Rishonim suggest that even though there was a path going through that basic knesses meikara before it ever became a shul, where the halach is that you're allowed to make it into a shortcut. Or the Miri says that we're talking about where he came in al menash lolas is coming down. He came in for some other reason, and then he realized he had to go somewhere, so it turns out that he made a shortcut. That would be mutter. Tori Evans says that when you go to basic knesses to be mispal, Halal, you're then allowed to use it as a shortcut. But he was machmir that even when he went into Davin, he wouldn't then use it as a shortcut. He would always go out the same door that he came in instead of using it as a shortcut. V'lonasasi kapai below bracha. And finally, he says, I never was nosi kapai in below bracha. I never duchened without saying a bracha first. So the Rishonim ask this one as well. Ritva says, machasiduso gdulaso miuchadas b'zal. What's the sort of chasidus is this? The bracha is a chova. A kohen who does birchas kohanim l'chora has a chiyuv to say a bracha first. So he says maybe that's the chiddush that he's telling us that any kohen that's mevarich that says this bracha is going to get arichas yam, meaning enochinami. It's a chiyuv, but he's saying that there's certain skulas to certain mitzvahs, and this mitzvah has a skula of arichas yam. Terry Evans says no, maybe he was the one that was misaking the bracha. Who says that there was a bracha beforehand? Maybe we only know that there's a bracha for birchas kohanim because of him. And he says the riot that is in the Gemara in Sota, after it says, after Rabbi Lazar says, Miyamid lana sasi kapi blo bracha, the Gemara says, my mivarech, so what was his bracha? That the implication is, it was his bracha. He's the one that would say the bracha, and he's the one that instituted the bracha for birchas kohanim. There's a big discussion in the Achronim, if a kohen was already nosei kapayim one time, and then he goes to another shul, where they're up to birchas kohanim, should he do it again? Is lana sasi kapi blo, and either tzad, you can understand what he's saying over here. If the tzad is that he shouldn't do it again, so then, or he shouldn't say a bracha again, then l'nasas kapi b'la bracha means he avoided the situation. And if it's that he should do it again, it means that he did, that he never said, I already duchen once, I'm not going to duchen again. So there's machlokas in the Achronim, Lvush raises that suffix, whether one should or should not do it again. Shalot Talmidim, sorry, Preda, the Talmidim asked Rabbi Preda, what did you do to be zochet arichus yamim? Before we go on, Tosfos points out, what do you mean? We know where I prayed that was Ma'arich Yamim. Tosfos points out that he taught a student 400 times, the Gemara says, I think in Brachos, and then a Baskel came out and said that because you had so much patience teaching the student 400 times, so you're going to be Zochet to live 400 years. So it says, or the Baskel said, what do you want? You have your choice of Schar. Do you want your whole generation to go to Olam Haba, or do you want to live for 400 years? So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yavalei Havaha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, it's Gemara in Erevin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, give him both, let him live 400 years and to bring his whole generation to Olam Haba. So you see, that's why he lived so long. So what are they asking? So Tosfos points out, he didn't know that. That was later on, he found out that that's why he lived so long. This is beforehand, so I asked, what did he attribute his living so long for? So he didn't attribute it to his great patience, although you understand the Midah Keneged Midah, that if he has such patience, again, like we said before, that if he's willing to use his time to help others, he's not going to say, it's a waste of my time, so Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to grant him more time. But Amar Lahem, Miyamai Lokadamni Adon Beis HaMedrash, he attributed to that no one ever came to the Beis HaMedrash before him, which again is shows how he used his time. V'lo birachti lefnei kohen, I would never be mevarich before a kohen is, meaning he was not a kohen, and if there was ever a benching that had to be done, and there was a kohen at the meal, he'd make sure that the kohen would get the benching, would lead the benching. And I never ate from a behema that the matanos were not removed from the behema. You're not allowed to eat from behema before the matanos are removed. Anyone who eats from behema that the matanos are not taken, it's as if he's eating tevel. But it happens to be that we don't pass like that. The Ritva explains there are two reasons we don't pass like that. When it comes to grain, when it comes to food, fruits, when it comes to things that grow in the ground, the halach is that it is tevel, that if you didn't take the matanos, if you didn't take the truma and the meiser, it's tevel, it's absolutely asr. So why is the halach not the same by the matanos of a behema? So the Ritva explains for two reasons. First of all, the tevel of truma is mixed in the entire grain, meaning there is no chelek misuyam u'mavurar, there is no very clear part of the grain that is the trumor, that is the meiser. Whereas by the matanos of the behema, there are certain parts of the behema, the zrol, the chayayim, and keva, you can identify in advance. These are the parts of the behema that are the matanos. So it's not a taroves with the rest of the behema. And also, the matanos themselves are not kadosh. A zar is allowed to eat them. A non-kohen is certainly permitted to eat them. It's just gezel ha-shevet. It's a dine mamonis issue that it belongs to the kohanim. So that's different than truma. Truma that's eaten by a zar is absolutely aser for a zar to eat. Even if the kohen decides to be mevater and he wants to give it, he wants to share it with the zar, it's absolutely aser for a zar to eat truma. So those are the two important chilukim between the matanos of behemah and the matanos when it comes to things that grow from the ground. V'lo birachti l'fnei kohen. So he says he never said a bracha before the kohen. L'meimer d'mal yusahi, is that some sort of great milev? Am Rabbi Yochanan kol tamal chacham shemavarich l'fanav. Afilu kohen gadol ha'maaretz also tamal chacham chayiv misa. Shemar kol masanei avim avis al tikri masanei al masniyai. That a tamal chacham should not allow a kohen to bench before him. A tamal chacham has to be the one to lead the benching. He has to be the one to take the aliyah first, because the priority goes to the Talmud Chacham. And if someone doesn't do that, he's called Masniyai. Why is he Masniyai? So Rashi explains, because he causes people to hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it makes it look like the person who dedicates his life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Talmud Chacham is a lowlife and that no one respects him. So you have to show that there's a certain level of kavod for the Talmud Chacham. So how could you say that he took this maila, that he wouldn't be Mevarich Lefnei Talmud Chacham? He should have been Lefnei Kohen. He should have been Mevarich Lefnei Kohen. Ki kamer iu b'shavin. So the Gemara says, no, if he and the Kohen were of equal stature in terms of the Torah that they knew, then he was very makbid that the Kohen would lead the benching. Fractosos, yeah, but then if that's the case, isn't that a halacha that he's absolutely required to let the Kohen lead the benching? Meaning if everything else is even, then you have the mitzvah v'kidashto, that you have to give the Kohen priority. So what's the great maila that he would allow a Kohen to bench instead of him? Says Tosos, yesh lomar d'shavin lav dafka. When we say that they were of equal stature, it doesn't really mean totally equal. All it means when it says v'shavin is that the Kohen was also Talmud Chacham, but maybe not quite the same kind of Talmud Chacham that Rabbi Preda himself was. So that's what it's saying. Still Rabbi Preda was uncomfortable about leading the benching as long as there was a Kohen who happened to have been a Talmud Chacham, even if he wasn't quite the same stature as Rabbi Preda himself. At the end of Tosfos points out, Rashi Pirush Tachem Eri Birch Samazon, that we're talking about benching over here, and that's what it sounds like, lo birachti, that this is about benching, not kriyas haTorah. It doesn't say lo karisi. Birch Samazon, he says, maybe there was no takana mishum darkei shalom of always having the Kohen go first, and Rabbi Preda was still makbid that the Kohen should go first, meaning by kriyas haTorah nowadays, we always give the first aliyah to the Kohen. That's a takana mipnei darkei shalom, even though Talmud Chacham really should come first, because who's a Talmud Chacham? Everyone's going to say, I'm a Talmud Chacham, this one's a Talmud Chacham, that one's not. So from Darkei Shalom, the Kohen is less debatable, so you give it to the Kohen first. So maybe that takana was never made for benching. That takana was always was only made for Kriyas HaTorah, and that's certainly the minhag. A lot of times you'll have a meal where there's a Kohen, and the Kohen will be mochel, and other people will happily take it. They'll say Bereshus Kohanim or whatever, and they'll take it. They'll lead the benching. But by Aliyos, you know, you don't really see that. You don't see the Kohanim being mochel because we follow the takanim of Bnei Darkei Shalom for Kriyas HaTorah, but not necessarily for benching. Fourth Tana who was asked about his arichus yam shal talmid of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, b'me'ar rachli yam talmid of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, what he did to be zochet arichus yam. Amalam yamalim is chabadi b'klon chaveri. He says, I never got honor at someone else's expense by humiliating someone else. V'lo also al mitasi kilas chaveri. I never went to sleep with someone else's curse on my head, meaning having in mind that I wasn't mochel somebody. Vivatan b'moni hayisi, and I was always very generous with my money. Lo nischabati b'klon chaveri. What did he mean when he says I never got honor at someone else's expense? Ki od Rafuna dari mara kasi, like Rafuna was once holding a spade on his shoulder. Also Rav Chana bar Chani lavi kadari minei. So Rav Chana bar Chani lavi came and took it from him. Amlei regulus the daris masayich dari. If you normally carry such a thing around your town and it's not considered to be Zion, so then that's fine. But v'ilo is yakuri anab zilus d'dach lo nichali. But if you don't normally walk around with such a kli, it's not, if it's normally considered to be Zion for you, I don't want to receive my honor by not carrying it at the expense of your honor. Not interested in that. What do you mean when he said lo sal mitasi kilas chaveri? Ki adam arzutra ki avasalik l'poria amr sharili l'kol man d'tzaren. That Marzutra had the practice that every single night when he went to sleep, he would be mochel anyone who would cause him any sort of tsar. So the Ritva asked the question, the Gemara in Yuma Daf Chav Gimel says that kol tamil chacham sheinu nokem v'noter kenachash is eno tamil chacham. Any tamil chacham that doesn't take revenge on people who wrong him is not a tamil chacham, meaning tamil chacham is not supposed to be mochel. He should make sure that those who are mevazah tamid chachamim suffer for it, and they should not just easily brush it off when people are mevazah tamid chachamim. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah in the 7th parak that if a person was mevazah him befar hesya, it's aser to be mevater, because then he has minokim minoter kenachash in order that it shouldn't be a zilzal and kavarat Torah in general, because a lot of other people saw it. But if someone was mevazah a person betzina and other people didn't see it, then midas chasidus not to take it personally and to be mochel. And a person who's in an alavim vein malvin, so he's going to get great schar for that if he accepts humiliation and doesn't respond in kind. That's what Rav Mordechai Willig used to always tell us, that we should dance when someone is mevazah. So you should enjoy the olam haba that he's giving you when someone's mevazah you, instead of saying appreciate the great gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just gave you, that someone was mevazah you, because it's like he's handing you olam haba on a silver platter, not to respond to any sort of humiliation. But that again, if it's public and it's going to be an issue of kavanat taras, that's a different issue. The chida in Pesach Einayim in Yuma over there says, now what does it mean that a tamil chacham is not nokim minoter kinachash? It says a nachash doesn't get any hana from what it eats. It has no time, it has no taste from what it eats. That's what it means. Tamil chacham can be nokim minoter, but he shouldn't get any geshmak out of it. He has to do it for the sake of kavanat Torah, but he shouldn't be enjoying it. Vatr money, you see, and he says, and I was very generous with my money. Damar iyo vatr money have iyo was generous with his money. He would always give an extra tip to the money changer or to the storekeeper from his money. Rabbi Akiva asked Rabbi Nechunya Agadol the same question: what did you do to be zochet tarichas yamim? Asu gavzi v'kamachulei. So some people started attacking Rabbi Akiva. That what, you trying to kill him? You want him to die? Why are you asking him? You begrudge him the long life that he lived, that he's lived so far. Salik yosef areisha didiklus. Rabbi Akiva ran away and he climbed up to the top of a dekel tree, to the top of a palm tree, where they wouldn't be able to get to him. Amar lei, and he screamed out, Rebbe, im nomar keves, lo men emar echad. If it says keves, why does it have to say echad? Isn't it obvious that keves is singular, and therefore it means echad? So Amar lu, tsum me rabbanu hu shavku. So Rabbi Nechunya says, he's a tamil chacham, leave him alone. He's a young tamil chacham, he doesn't mean anything bad by it. Amar lei, echad miyuchad shabedra. And then he answered the question, echad means miyuchad shabedra, that when you give keves echad to asav broker, as a keves hasheni to asav ben arbaim for the carbon talmud, it doesn't just mean one, it means give a good one. You find the nicest one in the flock, and that's what should be used for the carbon. Amar lei miyamei lo kibalti matanos, and he says, and you want to know why it is that I lived a long life? He says, I never accepted matanos from people. V'amadti al midosai, I was never stubborn. V'vatram b'moni ha'isi, and I was generous with my money. Lo kibalti matanos, never accepted matanos ki adar blazer ki avu mashadri le matanos v'nesiyala v'shakil. Just like the practice from Blazer would not accept matanos from the Benesia. Kev mezamni leilava azel, and they would invite him for a meal, he wouldn't come. Amalu lo nichol chudache, he would say to them, do you not want me to live? Dechsiv soni matanos yichya, someone is supposed to hate matanos will live. So I'm not going to accept things, I'm not going to just take things from other people. Rabbi Zeru kev mishadilim Benesia lo avashakel, but kev mezamni leazel. Rabbi Zeru had a different practice, he wouldn't accept gifts, but when they invited him over, he would go. Amaris yakuri de misyakribi, he would say, they're getting honor by inviting me over, meaning it's not just me that they're doing it for. They're doing it for themselves. So I don't want to hold. I don't want to take that away from them if they enjoy having me over at the meal. So that's apparently a point of debate. Meaning, Sunday matanos yichya, should the focus be on you don't want to benefit from someone else losing out, or the point is that you don't want to benefit from matanos and forget about the other person? It's about you not benefiting from matanos. That seems to be machlokas. And he says, I was never omin al midosai. Da amar Rava kalamavr al midosav ma'avir mimenu kal pshav. If a person is a mevater, he's mavr al midosav, he's He doesn't take revenge on people who do bad things to him. So Mavirim Menu Kol Pesha, Hakadosh Baruch Hu will forgive his sins. Shemar Nosi Avon Vavar Al Pesha. Lemi Nosi Avon? Who does Hashem bear the sin for? Lemi Shavar Al Pesha? Someone who's willing to overlook someone else's Pesha. So it's interesting. Soni Matanos Yichya. To what extent do we take Soni Matanos Yichya, that a person should not accept any sort of Matanos? So the Rambam in the third parak of Hilchos Talmud Torah and in his Pirushim Rishayis Pirkei Avos goes on these long rampages against people who want to sin and learn and will receive and demand that other people support them so that they should be able to sin and learn, and says that's not the derech, that was never what the Tanaim did, it's not what the Amoraim did, it's a chil Hashem, you bring Vaza the Torah, you're kavam ma'or hadas gorim ra la'atzmo, all sorts of very, very strong lashonos, and part of it is because you're not allowed to be nanami divrei Torah, and anyone who's nanami divrei Torah, he's not al chayiv min ha'olam, and you're not supposed to use the Torah as a kardom lachborba, and oiv malacha snos harabanos, kol Torah sheni malacha sheni ma'malacha, sofa b'teili, shakes out every single maimer chazal that sound like you're not supposed to take matanos. So the question is, so what about the whole kolal system? Any rabbi who takes a salary, anyone who gets anything for learning, for being involved in Klei Kodesh. So mostly it's everyone quotes that Rambam, but the Kesef Mishnah and many of the other Achronim disagree with that Rambam. The Kesef Mishnah on the spot in Hilchos Talmud Torah says that the Rambam went way overboard over here and in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, and he's docha one by one all the rayos of the Rambam, and he brings many rayos from Chazal that Hachzakas HaTorah is a very, very great mitzvah. So I always thought, okay, yeah, Hachzakas HaTorah is a great mitzvah for the Talmud Chacham to demand it and to say that you have to support me, because that's a very great avera. But adrabah, people should want to do it, and people should. But the Kesef Mishnah says it doesn't make sense that a person is not supposed to take it, but it's a great mitzvah to give it. How could it be that it's a great mitzvah for me to give it to him if it's an avera for him to take it? Kesef Mishnah says no, it's a great mitzvah to give it, and it's a great mitzvah to learn Torah and to take the support that people are offering. Maybe not to demand, but it's okay to take the support as well, as long as your ikur kavana is for learning and not for parnasa. Shouldn't be a guy is a schlepper and he can't do anything else, so okay, I could learn and then someone will support me. No, it's nafshu chashka batorah, he wants to learn kol yom yisichasi, and then because he's dedicated to learning, and the only way that he could practically make it workable is if someone is going to support him, so then it's okay. And that's what we pask in Shulchan Aruch and Ilchus Talmud Torah in Yerodei and Sim Reish Membav, both Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah pask in that way. That's what Moshe has a tshuva in Yerodei Chelek Beis and Kuvta Zayin. Someone says, should I not take kollel checks? You know, I should maybe start working instead of learning because of this issue. So I'm learning fine. It's not like I'm burnt out. It's not like I'm not learning well. I'm doing fine and I'm learning beautifully. But, Soni Matanos Yichya and the Rambam, so Moshe said, that's you, Yetzer Hara talking. You should, we need Kollelim, we need people who are dedicated full-time to learning, and especially nowadays where it's very hard to find, Rav Moshe, it's very hard to find women who are willing to be Mosu Nefesh, so they need to live with some basic, decent level of support, so it's the only way we're ever going to have Talmid Chacham in Bizman Hazeh. Okay, Shal Rabbi Yisrael B'Shul Ben Karcha, B'meh Arach Liyam, so Rabbi asked Rabbi Yisrael Ben Karcha, what did you do for Arichus Yamin? I'm like Katzta B'chayei. What you want to you begrudge my life? I'm a low Rebbe Tori. He v'lumar ani tzorach. No, Adrabe. I'm very happy that you're alive, but I really like some advice. I'm like miyamelin stakalti b'dumos adam rasha. I never looked in the face of a rasha. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Rasuladim l'stakel b'tzalim dumos adam rasha. You're not allowed to gaze at the image of a rasha. Shnemar lule pnei Yoshafat melech Yehuda ani nosim abitei lecha v'imarecha. If I didn't like Yoshafat, I wouldn't look at Yehoram. Rabbi Lazar Amar Ein of Chaos. Shenemar that his eyes will go dim if he looks at a rasha. Shenemar by Yiki Zakan Yitzchak v'techena Ein of Miraos. That Yitzchak's eyes went dim Miraos from what he saw. What does it mean from what he saw? Mishum Destakel Beisav Harasha, because he looked at Esav Harasha, looking all those years at Esav Harasha caused his eyes to go dim later on. So why did he do it? So obviously he did it based on what the Gemara tells us, that he thought that Esav was a tzaddik. He didn't know that Esav was a rasha. Kitzayid b'fiv. Esav was very tricky. He managed to convince his father that he was And there is a tzaddik. Vahagar Malay, wait, is that what caused Yitzchak to go blind? Vam Rabbi Yitzchak lo malti kila sadiot kalabei necha. But didn't Rabbi Yitzchak tell us that when even a hedyot curses a person, it shouldn't be taken lightly? Shara Avimelech kila l'sarav niskayim bezara, because Avimelech cursed Sarah and it was fulfilled in her children. Shneemar hinehu l'cha ksus einayim, al tikri ksus al ksias einayim. Avimelech said that you tricked me and you didn't tell me that you were married to Avram, and it was a ksus einayim, but we read it as ksias einayim, that your eyes should be covered. But we never find that there was anything wrong with Sarah's vision at any point, but it was Niskayim Bezara. Yitzchak had problems with his vision because of that curse of Avimelech. Since the Gemara, Hava HaGarmelei, both of these things caused it. It was both the curse of Avimelech as well as the fact that he was Mistakel at Esav HaRasha. Rava Mehacha, Rava said from the following pasuk, Seis Pnei Rasha Lo Tov. So that's how you see that you can't look at another Rasha. Bishas Petirasa Amila Rebbe Barcheni. So when Rabbi Shimon Karcha was dying, so Rebbe said to him, bless me. Amila Yiratzon Shetegia L'chatzi Yama. You should live half of my days. Ulukulu Lo, half of your days? I shouldn't live as long as you. Amila Habay Mechrecha Behema Yiru. What, you want your children to be to be shepherds of behemos? Because that's what's going to be if you live as long as I did. Meaning, a lot of times, the older generation, as long as they're still there, the younger generation doesn't get a chance to shine. They don't get the opportunity to step into a role of leadership as long as the older generation is there. So you don't want to. You want to see your children be able to step up and become leaders. So and that's only going to work if you live chatzi yamai, not kol yamai. Avur bar imi minyam bar I chad amar tasty the stakel bakuti. One of them says I deserve a lot of credit because I never gazed at a kuti. V'cham amar tasty the lavdi shut v'spadi kuti. That I deserve a lot of credit because I never made a partnership with a kuti. Tosus points out that there's a din that you're not supposed to make a partnership with someone who might make you take a shvua b'shem avodah zara or something like that. So Tosus says no. Even if one of the tanaim in the partnership in the first place was that you're never going to have to take a shvua, was that wasn't going to be an issue. Still, he was machmir not to take a partnership with the kuti, and that's why he gets this credit. Shalu talmid v'Rabbi Zera, last one that they asked Rabbi Zera. What did you do for arichas yam? He says, I was never makbid in my house. I mean, I never was overly. I never got easily angered or anything like that in my house. And I never walked in front of someone who's greater than me. I didn't think in divrei Torah in dirty places. I never went four amos without Torah, without tefillin. And I didn't sleep in the beis medrash, not a shinas keva nor a shinas sarai, not for a long nap or a short nap. I never took joy in someone else's downfall. He said, I never called anyone else either by a nickname or some say by a last name. That's a question. Is that an issue to call someone else by their shem mishpacha, by a last name? You hear children do that all the time. They're always calling each other by the last name. Little kids are always calling each other by the last name. So is there some sort of problem in referring to people by the last name? The Pele Yoetz, he says that you have to be very careful. A lot of times you hear Rabbanim calling Harav Karo, Harav Alshich, Harav Algazi. He says, no, it's Mahari Karo, it's Maharam Alshich. You're not allowed to just call by the last name. You have to say, you have to have some reference to the first name as well. It's inappropriate to call by the last name. So the Sefer Yafal Leiv says, no, that's not what I mean. You call him Rabbi so-and-so, that's not a problem. I remember when I wrote an article a long time ago, I was trying to sound pseudo-intellectual. So instead of saying the Beis Yosef says, I wrote Rabbi Cairo or something like that. So one of the older mechanchim in the yeshiva came over to me and said, it's not appropriate. That's not the way you refer to the Beis Yosef. You refer to the Beis Yosef, it's the Beis Yosef. You refer, it's not the derech of Bnei Torah to refer to Gedolei Olam like that. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Va'olam Rabbi Yehuda, Beis HaKnesses Shacharav, Ein Maspidin B'tocho. If a Beis HaKnesses gets destroyed, we don't say a hesped in it. Ve'in Mafshilin B'tocho Chavolim. And you don't do work like lowering ropes or whatever. So what's that about? So says Rashi, Hu Adin L'Kol Melachos. It means any work. It it's just talking about a type of malacha that requires a large space. And usually the largest space in town is the Beis HaKnesses, so that's a big empty room. So you would do that kind of, it would be inviting to do that kind of work. Vein parsel l'tocha matzudos, you shouldn't spread out traps in the Beis HaKnesses. Vein shotkan al gago peros, shouldn't put out fruits on the roof of the Beis HaKnesses to dry. Vein osnosa kabadar, you shouldn't use it as a shortcut. Shnemar vashimosias mikdashechem kedushasan av kshen shomin, that they retain a level of kedusha even when they're empty. And if it's empty and its grass is overgrown like an abandoned house in the Beis HaKnesses, don't pull out that grass. Let it be there so people could see it and they should realize that they have a responsibility to do something about it, to do something about the fact that the shul is abandoned. One should not be noe kalas rosh at all in a Beis HaKnesses. One may not eat in a shul. One may not drink in a shul. And one is not supposed to get dressed up or hang out and just enjoy themselves and relax in the shul. The shul is used for kedusha related items. There's a big literature in more recent achronim. Once Chasidus Shtiblach became very common, and in every shtibl they have a kiddush and they are always eating and drinking. So why in the world would that be mutter? Why that seems very very clearly against the beferish halacha that ain ochlim behen ve'ain shosim behem. Where does such a heter come from? So there are tshuvas written by the gedolei Chasidus who try to justify the practice. The Divrei Chaim has a tshuva in Chelek Beis, Chosh Mishpasim Lamed Beis, the Sanzer. He says that the Tzadikei Ador used to take a room of their house and be miyachid it to be used for the Beis Medrash, and they would use it for other things as well, for Achil Shtia. And they did this because B'tchilas B'niyaslin, when it was originally built, it was built as a Beis Vad L'Talmid HaChachamim. It wasn't really built as a Beis HaKnesses, it was built as a place to do important things, as a place to do things when Talmid HaChachamim meet together. And therefore, it's not a violation of using a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash in an inappropriate way. But that begs the question, then it doesn't have Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. And a person is supposed to try to daven in a place that has Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. A person is not supposed to daven stam in a room. You daven in a place that has Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. That's where we're very makdid. The Gemara in Brachos Tav Ches talks about Oiv Hashem Shar Mitzion Ba'alecha, that it's even better to daven in a place where you learn that we're careful about the place also, not just stam we happen to have a minyan. In fact, according to many Rishonim, if you have the choice of davening with a minyan at home or davening alone in a shul without a minyan, according to some Rishonim, better to daven in a shul without a minyan than daven in a house minyan. So davening in a Beis HaKnesses, we were very matmid about kedusha. So very difficult to understand, to touch up the whole Chasidus Shtibl thing by saying that there's no kedusha Beis HaKnesses, then it makes the kasha much better than the teretz, right? The kasha becomes a much bigger kasha. Okay, and you shouldn't just hang out in the shul, and you shouldn't go into the shul to seek shelter from the sun or from the rain. And we don't give personal espedim in the shul if it's just for an individual family that's not a major communal member. But you should learn mikra in shul, you should learn mishnah in shul. There's a hesped of a talmud chacham shemes, or someone who's a major communal figure that everyone's going to need to come, so then you could do that in the shul. This is all when the shul is still being used. But if Rachman al Slan, the shul is already destroyed, then you let the grass overgrow and continue to allow it to overgrow. You don't pull it out because you want to create that sense of agmas nefesh. Where do we mention grass over here? So we have to add an extra line over there. That you should clean out the shul, and you should make sure that grass doesn't grow in the shul. And that's only when it's still being used. And when the grass does overgrow, if the shul has been abandoned, so then let it overgrow. Any Beis Knesses in Bavel is built with an automatic condition into the kedusha of the shul. And nevertheless, we cannot be noeg Kalas Rosh, which means that so long, Tos points out, the Tanai helps for when the shul is no longer being used. While it's still being used as a shul, it has full Kedusha space HaKnesses. It doesn't mean you're allowed to eat and drink in a shul because it's Al Tanai in a suyin. The Tanai means that when it's no longer being used as a shul, you're now allowed to use it for other things. Whereas without the Tanai, you would have Kedusha space HaKnesses forever. But still, you can't do Kalas Rosh even after the shul is gone. Umayni, what's Kalas Rosh? Cheshbonos. Amravasi, Beis HaKnesses. While the shul is still being used, you're not allowed to do cheshbonos. You're not allowed to do kalas rosh. So while the shul is still being used, if they made cheshbonos in such a shul, so then they're gonna leave a mace in such a shul. You're supposed to do that. You're supposed to put a mace in a beis hakneses. No, it means to say that ultimately you're gonna have a mace mitzvah situation on your hands if a person doesn't treat his shul with proper respect. Chacham and Talmideim can take a few more liberties in a shul because it's like their house. They could treat it like their home because it is like their home. You don't go in to protect yourself from the sun or from the rain. Ki had Ravina Ravada Bar Masna Vakaimi Vishali Shilta Mirava. Ravina Ravada Bar Masna, we're asking a question of Rava. Asa Zilcha Dimitra, and all of a sudden it started pouring. Ailil Bay Knishta, so they went into the shul. Amri, Haida Ailin Bay Knishta, Lav Mishum Mitra, El Mishum Dishmaita Baitzlusa, Kiyomadiistana. We went into the shul not because we're afraid of getting wet. It's not that we don't like the rain and that we need to protect ourselves from the rain. It's for our learning, that the learning is not going to be good without a clear mind, and while it's raining, it's hard to focus on our learning. So it's all about the learning. What if you need to call someone out of a shul? What should you do? You can't go in and do nothing. You have to. So what should a person do? So if you need to go into a shul for a minute, so if you're a tzur mirabanan, so say over halacha, learn something for a minute. If you happen to know how to read mishnayis, so sit and learn a mishnah, open up Pirkei Avos, learn a mishnah. And if you know how to read mikra, so lema psuka. So say a pasuk, v'lo, and if you don't know, even know that, pull over a kid and say, tell me what pasuk did you learn in yeshiva today, and let the kid tell you what he learned. Inami inishi portavinekum, or at least, at the very least, just sit there for a minute, instead of just running in and out. Sit down for a minute. Ashrei Yoshve Vesecha. That even just being Yoshve Vesecha is something that's a maila. Someone told me, one of my Talmidim told me that Rav Nevin Sal asked the question. This is quoted at La'alach in Shulchan Aruch, that if a person doesn't know how to learn, so at least he should sit down and just sit there for a minute. So Rav Nevin Sal said, well, wait a second. The option one is to say a halacha. So if a person doesn't know how to learn, the halacha is, he's supposed to sit there and say, why can't he say that halacha? Meaning, everyone, if he knows to do that, then he knows that halacha at least. So he should sit and say that halacha. Okay, cute question. So, umaspidin behen hespid shal. It's a very Rav Nevin Sal type of question. It's very, very much up his alley. Umaspidin behen hespid shal rabim, and you give hespid shal rabim in a shul. Heichidami aspeda the rabim. So, what's an example of a hespid of a rabim? So, machmir of chislech go aspeda the kai ber Rav Sheshes. Like the hespid that would happen if Rav Sheshes ever lost anyone in his family. He was such a chashuv person, the whole world would come to the hespid. Machmir of Sheshes go aspeda the kai ber Rav Chisda. Rav Sheshes says, no. How about a husband by Rav Chisda? Rav Chisda is saying a husband by Rav Sheshes' family. Rav Sheshes says, I think it would be a husband by Rav Chisda's family. Rafram Aspidal the Kalase Bekanishta. Rafram gave a husband for his daughter-in-law in Shul. Amr Mishum Yakra Didiu Demesa Asukliyama. Because of the honor of me and the honor of the mace, the whole world's going to come. That's what Gemara and Sanhedrin discussed. Hespid the Yakra Dechayi Yakra Deshchiva is the husband for the honor of the living and the honor of the dead. The Rabbin even goes so far as to say, Nicham Avelu is not only for the honor of the living, it's for the honor of the dead also. That it's all part of a lot of what we do in the course of Avelus is a dual respect. You're showing the respect for the living, for the Avelim, as well as the respect for the Nifter. Rabbi Zera Sapte Luhumi Rabbanim Bekanishta. Rabbi Zera gave a hesped for Rabbanim in Shul. Amri Imishum Yakra Didi, Imishum Yakra Didei, Demisa Asu Kali Alma. For one or the other, either for my honor or for the honor of the deceased, everyone's going to come. Reish Lakish Sapte Luhut Sur Merabbanim, the Shriach Barad Yisrael, Davitani Hilch. Rav Sheshes, Reish Lakish said a hesped for a certain young Talmud Chacham who was around Eretz Yisrael, who learned halachos in 24 rows of Talmidim. Amar Vaychasra Arad Yisrael Gav Rabin. He says, woe unto Eretz Yisrael, lost such a great man that he had 24 rows of Talmidim and used to learn halachos. Huda V'tani Yuchsa Sifra V'Sifri V'Tosefta V'Shachiv. There was someone who was well versed in halachos, Sifra, Sifri, and Tosefta, and he died. Asuvram Le Rav Nachman Lispidei Maris. They said to Rav Nachman, so say a hesped. Amar Hechi Lispidei Hate Son of Demoli Sifri D'Chaser. What should I say in the hesped? A bookshelf died. That this guy didn't know any. He knew everything, but he didn't know how to be Medamel Milsa L'Milsa. He didn't know how to be Miyashi V'Stira. He just had a lot of information in his head. He was an Amaretz in all of Shas. He didn't, he knew all. That's the Brisker Rav's expression once when he met someone who had a photographic memory. He said, it's amazing. The guy knows all of Shas, and he's in Mamash Namaretz in every single daf in Shas. He's an Amaretz. That you could know everything, but he's just a bookshelf. He doesn't know how to be Madame Milsa L'Milsa. He doesn't know how to analyze things properly. Look at the difference between the harsh people of Eretz Yisrael and the gentle people of Bavel. That's the way a gentle person from Bavel speaks. That he says, what should I say? That a bookshelf died. Someone who uses the Keser Torah and benefits from the Keser Torah is gonna be Avram in Olam. Tanu Reish Lakish, Zeh Mishtamish Mimisha Shona Halachos. That's referring to someone who's Mishamish with someone who's Shona Halachos, someone who learns Halachos, to use him for your personal benefit, to have a Talmud Chacham serve you is inappropriate. That's what it's talking about, that he's Chalaf, such a person is going to be Avram in Olam. V'amar Ulu L'shtamish Shinish B'man D'Tani Arba V'lo L'shtamish B'man D'Masni Arba. If you have a choice of using someone who learned or someone who taught, better to have someone who learned service you than to have someone who taught. Like the story with Reish Lakish was traveling, they got to a place of water, so someone picked up Reish Lakish on his shoulders to carry him over the water. Amalei Karisa, he says, have you learned Mikra? Amalei Karina, the guy says, yeah. Tanisa, you learned Mishnah? Tanina Arba Sidri Mishnah, I learned four of the six Siddharim of Mishnayis. Amalei Pasaltulach Arba Ture V'ta'anta Bar Lakish HaKasbeich, you made yourself these four great columns and you're carrying Reish Lakish. Shadi Bar Lakisha B'maya, throw me into the water, I don't want your service. Amalei Nichli Da Shminin Lamar, he says, I really like to do this, it's happy. Ihachi Gamar Mini Hamil Sir, Reish Lakish says, if you're happy to do it, then at least learn something from me, let me teach you something. That Benos Yisrael, when they see even a tiny drop of dam, they observe Shiva Nekiyim. So at least you learned that from me. That a person who learns halachos is guaranteed that he is a ben olam haba. We'll stop there. Elisha will be saying the daf over the next week, and we thank the Brisco family very much for the sponsorship again. Mazel tov on Tzvi Hirsch putting on tefillin this morning.